God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today on a life worthy of the Lord. A life worthy of the Lord is a life full of Him. A life lived for Him and in Him and by His power and in His presence. He is the answer. You remember when Jesus was talking with His disciples just before He left them to go to the cross. He said, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." And they said, "We don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way." And that's a word that I would hope you would cling to today. Just sort of take hold of those words of Jesus. I am the way. Someone surely is listening to me today who is perplexed as to which way to go. You don't know what to do. You just don't know what to do at all. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He says, "I am the way." And a quiet holding of ourselves in His presence, waiting in silence and humble trust, can make a very big difference. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, this is what Paul was praying for the Colossian Christians, that they might be strengthened with all power, according to His, that is, God's, glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So Paul is praying that they may have strength, endurance, patience, joy, and a thankful spirit. Which of those do you need today? Strength, endurance, patience, joy, or a thankful spirit? Or all five, perhaps? You might say, "I've done all that, and God hasn't done anything. Nothing has changed." Do you remember the story of how Jesus waited one time till the disciples were toiling and rowing and scared to death in a storm on the Lake of Galilee? We can picture the frightened and exhausted fishermen and the solitary, quiet figure of Jesus standing above them, ruling the storm. And He was revealed to those disciples as He had not been up until that point. Remember that the 12 disciples had been chosen to walk with Him and learn from Him, live with Him, hear Him preach, see Him perform miracles, and teach. They knew more about Him than anyone else on earth, and yet the revelation was not complete until they had found themselves in the storm. It's in the storm that He was revealed to them as never before. And that's exactly the way I have found it in my life. It's in those storms, those tempests, those times when we feel as though we're toiling and rowing, and we're scared and exhausted, and we feel as though we're not making any headway, and we're about to be swamped, that Jesus comes. And it's then He speaks peace to us, and He says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am life." In each situation, He says, "I am. Look at me. Behold me. See. I'm here. I haven't let you go." Now, perhaps your storm has broken from a quarter that you never expected. I had a desperate phone call from a dear friend the other morning. She was in tears at 6 o'clock in the morning. She said, "I never dreamed he could be so cruel. I never thought it would come to this. She was feeling just like the disciples, I suppose, sure that the boat would sink, helpless. I'm falling to pieces. I have no help. I have no support. I'm about to burn out. This can't be a spiritual life worthy of the Lord, and those are direct quotes not from the friend who called me on the phone, but from a letter I had. She said, I'm about to burn out. This can't be a spiritual life. God does want it to be a spiritual life, even if he doesn't change the circumstances. He wants you to learn right there that he's with you. Are you losing your grip? Do the waves threaten? Is the sky darkening? Are you on the brink of utter despair? The situation can be completely transformed by the presence of Jesus Christ. He comes to the rescue of all of those of us who are caught in the toils of circumstance. This is a secret that's always been known to people of prayer, something that we can trust and that acts in proportion to our trust. Sometimes it is on our soul that he lays his tranquilizing touch and stills the storm. Sometimes in the hurly-burly of our emotional life. Sometimes he lays his touch on events that we think are about to destroy us or destroy the people and the causes that we love and who are mysteriously modified by the Spirit that indwells and overrules them. We do feel sometimes as if we're left to ourselves to struggle with it all. Jesus is away praying on the mountain. That's where he was, you know, when the disciples were toiling in the boat, praying on the mountain. Or perhaps he's asleep in the boat, as in another story. The waves seem to be getting decidedly higher. The night is very dark, and we don't feel sure about our gear. We begin to lose our nerve because nobody is seeming to care. Certainly life is not made soft and easy for us Christians, but it is, in the last resort, safe. Life is not easy, but life is safe when we live in company with him. The universe is safe for souls. The God of the universe has put us souls here, hasn't he? And so, when we remember that we are loved with an everlasting love, and that underneath are the everlasting arms, it's not so difficult to believe that the universe is safe. The disciples were thoroughly frightened, exhausted, soaked to the skin, but not destroyed. At the critical moment, he went up into the ship and restored their safety, their sanity, and their peace. And so, too, when the 4,000 were hungry and had nothing to eat, and the disciples got very worried about it. But they were all fed, weren't they? And they were fed in an entirely unexpected way. So Christ stands over against our history, our stories, our experiences. And in the darkest and most dangerous moments, we receive a new revelation of his power. I've had many letters from you telling me of just such rescues. Times when you had no hope left, when the bank account was drained, when the job was lost. God didn't send the money. He didn't let you be one of those who didn't get the pink slip. You got it. Canned. Fired. Not needed. So long, buddy. Have a good day. And yet, Jesus came in the storm. He didn't forestall the storm, but he came to your boat in the middle of it, or when you thought that you had reached the end. I want to ask you today, are you teachable? Are you willing to learn every moment of every hour of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year of your life? It takes meekness, doesn't it? Meekness is teachability. Lord, open our eyes to the revelation of yourself, standing above us with such a loving look with such tenderness, waiting, Lord, for us to turn to you, to trust you, and to cast ourselves on your care.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.